Good evening. I do hope you've had a great day, and I want to say thank you for being here tonight. Looking forward to spending some time studying with you. Before we begin, let me do a couple of things. I need to make a handful of announcements that have been shared with me specifically so that we might pray together. So we'll make a couple of announcements here, and then we'll pray together, and then we'll study for a few minutes. Announcement number one, we mentioned a day or two ago via a phone call, we shared with you that our brother Bill Spear passed away, that his long battle with cancer is complete, and so Brother Bill has passed on, and his funeral is Tuesday, Hatcher and Sadler, 2 o'clock. So Bill Spear, Tuesday, Hatcher and Sadler, 2 o'clock. And the other announcement for that is this. Robbie needs volunteers to meet with him after services tonight downstairs to set up tables to prepare for the meal that will take place after the funeral on Tuesday. So if you're able to give a few moments after services tonight, meet Robbie downstairs and put up some tables. Another announcement is that we had mentioned that Tracy Tarter, this is Corey Bagby's mother, Tracy's been diagnosed with cancer again, and her cancer surgery is Tuesday. And so Corey has asked that we remember her in prayer as her mom goes through this surgery on Tuesday. So let's remember the Tarter family, the Bagby family. And the third announcement is this. Nancy Brown was at a family reunion just this afternoon. And as she was at the family reunion, her aunt, Beatty Carmen, had an episode and was rushed to the ER. And so Nancy doesn't even know what the outcome of that is. All she knows is that her aunt is at the ER. And so Nancy asks that we remember her aunt, Beatty, in prayer tonight. So what I'm going to ask you to do is that you bow with me. Let's pray together. We'll remember these circumstances and also ask for the Father to bless us as we seek to study His Word and hope that in all that we do, we'll glorify Him. So let's pray. Almighty God, we come into Your presence once again. It is such a great honor to be Your children, to be a family, to be brothers and sisters, and to come before You, our Father, to call upon You in our time of need, and to share with You those things that are weighing upon us. So we pray for the Spear family. God, please bless them, comfort them. This is a request that we make so specifically to You, Father, our God of comfort, that You would be that source of comfort to this sweet family. We pray for the Tarter and Bagby families. God, we ask that You would bless Tracy as she faces this surgery on Tuesday. And we also pray for Nancy's family. We pray for Beatty Carmen that You would be with her as she has been taken to the ER. We're not sure of what is going on with her, but God, please watch over, bless, and protect her. And now, Father, as we enter into this time where we open up Your powerful and Your perfect Holy Word, we ask for Your blessings, that all that we do and say will be true, that all that we do and say will be the truth spoken in love, and that all we do and say will bring You great glory and us great encouragement. We're thankful for Your Word, and we pray that we would rightly read it and apply it. Help us in this endeavor. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So what we want to do tonight is based upon a verse that's here in John chapter 1 at verse 5, where the Bible says in John 1, 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We're going to talk about light tonight, that special light that shines in the darkness. Because I don't think it is too big of an admission. I don't think it's too strange of a thing to say that it can be scary in the dark. Am I too far outside of the realm of... Think back to when you were a kid. If you were anything like me, you were able to conjure up images of pretty impressive beasts that were lurking in the dark. Or maybe you were able to conjure up images of not something fantastic, but just somebody who's a bad guy lurking there in the dark. Because in the dark, aren't the noises stranger? In the dark, aren't the noises just often weird? Because you can't see what's there, and so our imagination can start to run wild, and we can start inventing things that certainly are not there. Because things can just be scary in the dark. But also, even if it's not scary, sometimes the dark can just be frustrating. Because it's hard to work in the dark. It's hard to accomplish your goals when things are dark. Driving can be more dangerous in the dark. I know that as I've gotten older, and this has got to just be an old age thing. You see these gray hairs. The kids will turn on a light in the van. And I'm like, turn that off. I can't see. You know, they just want to read their book. You're like, I can't see. Where am I getting a wreck? Because I'm an old man that can't see what's out here. Turn the lights off. I need it. Driving in the dark can be hard. Yard work gets harder when it's dark. Housework, you know, driving a nail with a hammer, that's hard in the dark. It's hard to read a book in the dark. The greatest thing in the world, reading a book, it's hard to do in the dark. So with thoughts like these in mind, is it any wonder that the Bible so often uses the idea of the light to describe that which is helpful? The Bible describes light as that which is good. The Bible describes light as that which is encouraging and great and makes you happy and causes you to feel courage and power and strength. The light is good. And so tonight what I want us to do is quickly take a look at four different areas, four different people and things that are described as light in the Scripture. And in so doing, as we look at these four different areas that are, you know, this is light, as we look at these four different things, I think that hopefully we'll not only learn a lot about God, but we should learn a number of things about ourselves as well. And so let's start with the first one. Why don't you go with me over to 1 John chapter 1. And the first point tonight is this, is that God is light. And it says that very thing there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Read with me several verses here. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 5. This is the message that we've heard from Him and that we proclaim to you. So here's what we got from Jesus and that we're giving to you now. That God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. So here's the first point here, the saying, the Bible says that God is light. Now, not only from this passage, from what we know about what light does, what light is used for, is we know that light exposes, light reveals, light makes obvious or clear that which was hidden once upon a time. That's what light does. That's why whenever you go into a room, wait a few more hours once the sun really goes down, you go into a room where there's no lights on, you have to feel around to make your way through. You want to turn some lights on to be able to reveal what you might step on, the Legos you might step on, the holes you might step on, whatever might be there. The light exposes what you might see, the chairs you might trip over. Light exposes that which was hidden a moment ago in the darkness. And so here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, when it says that God is light, in this text of 1 John, what God is seeking to get us to do, what God is seeking to have us understand, is that we are to be real and to be honest about sin, about the existence of sin, but really and specifically, we're to be honest about the existence of sin in us. Now we know, three different times, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, the Bible says God is love, and we're so thankful for that. John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says that God is spirit. And I think quite simply the image there in John 4 is this. You and I are physical. We are located. We are in one place and we can't be at another place. I can't be in Texas when I'm in Kentucky. You can't be in this building but also be at home. That's not the way that it works. You can be in one place physically at a time. But God is spirit. God can be anywhere, everywhere, all the time, right now. Look at Psalm 139. I want to read several verses here from Psalm 139 to sort of drive this point home about what it means to say, we know what it means to say God is love. He's merciful, He's kind, He's giving, He's forgiving. God is love. He gives us just exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it. But He's also spirit. He's everywhere, all the time. And this is what the Bible says in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways, even before a word's on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Now notice verse 7. Where shall I go, listen to this, from your spirit? God, you are spirit. I can't get away from you. You're everywhere. Where shall I flee from your presence? Well, I can't because you're spirit. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, what's he say? And the light about me be night. He says, even the darkness is not dark to you because you're light. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Now, here's what we know. God is love, God is spirit, and 1 John 1:5, God is light. Let me make a couple of observations about that idea right here. As light, we would say that God is pure. He's above and He's beyond and He's without any type of sin. It's not within the nature of God to fail or fall short in any kind of way. He's perfect. And we would say it this way, God is perfect, beautiful light. God's light. Amen. But also as light, that means that He is not only perfect Himself, but as light, He shines a spotlight on us. He shines a spotlight on sin, and specifically, like I said a moment ago, He shines a spotlight on our sin. Nothing gets past Him. Hebrews 4:13, He sees it all. He sees and He knows. And so what He's calling on us to do is to just be realistic. Be honest. Be open, just like He. He says, I see it, so you admit it. He says in verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10 of 1 John 1, we have sin. To deny it is to be a liar. He says, I see it. I'm shining a light on it right now. You need to be real about it too. So to walk in the light as He is in the light is to see sin and to expose it just like He does. God is light. He is glorious, perfect light. He's above and beyond sin, and He expects us to be seeing it and recognizing it in ourselves as well. God's light. There's the second thing the Bible says. The Bible also says that Jesus is light. He would say it of himself in John 8, verse 12. This is what Jesus said of Himself. I am the light of the world. I'm the light, Jesus said. Just in case you didn't see that, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. While you're there in John, go to John chapter 1. I want you to see several things here. John loves this imagery of light, especially as it's related to Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1. So John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And listen to this description of Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. Now he, that is John, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, Jesus. Then verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John said, here He comes. He came to make those crooked paths straight, to prepare the way for Jesus. He came to get people ready for the bright light to shine. You know, maybe one way of thinking about that is that sometimes, don't you know how it is that you've got to sometimes, if you go from the darkness into the light, you kind of have to adjust your eyes for a little bit. You need a moment of adjustment. John came to get people ready. He came to just sort of start getting the light ready so that when you walked in and we saw the glorious light of Jesus, that you were prepared for it. You were ready for it. You were ready to follow it. Then there's this in John chapter 3. John 3 will begin at the most well-known passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now listen to this in 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So what does all this mean? If we're saying that what light does, as we see here in John chapter 3 and other places, if we're saying that what light does is it exposes, or if it reveals what's previously been hidden, then here's what Jesus does. As light, Jesus, He shows us how to get to heaven. That's what Jesus does. He reveals the way. He said that of Himself, John 14, 6, I'm the way. You don't get to the Father except by Me. So He lights the way. That's what Jesus does. He lights the way. He lights the path. He not only shows us the path, I think maybe a better way to say it is, He is the path. If you're not walking on the path that is Jesus the Christ, you're not walking in the direction towards the Father. So as light, Jesus shows us how to get to heaven. Also, we would say, as light, Jesus reveals the Father to us. If you say to yourself, I want to know what God's like, then you look at Jesus. Go to John chapter 14. And in John 14, verse 7 and verse 9. So John 14, verse 7, John 14, verse 9, two different times right there, Jesus says basically this. If you want to know what the Father's like, look at Me. How can you even say you don't know who the Father is? How can you say you don't know what the Father's like when you know Me? Because if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you know Me, you know the Father. If you know what I'm like, you know what the Father's like. I came to show you who the Father is. I came to show you what God's like. And so as light, that's what Jesus does. He shines a spotlight on God. He shines a spotlight on the Father. He shows us, He reveals to us what God is like. That means that Jesus shows us what goodness and severity is like. Jesus shows us what mercy and holiness are like. He shows us what reward as well as punishment are like. That's what He does. He shows us who the Father is. Also as light, Jesus shows us how to love each other. You see there in a place like Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Okay? How? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Christ sacrificed, gave up His very life in order to uplift, to cleanse, to save the church. So as light, Jesus shows us how to love each other. He shows us that it's sacrificial love that wins. And by that I mean brings people in. It's sacrificial love that wins, and it's sacrificial love that keeps. That's the kind of love that sustains relationships of marriage, relationships of parents and children, relationships of brothers and sisters in Christ. The kind of love that sacrifices, that is what brings in and holds and sustains. And Jesus shows us that. He said in John chapter 12 at verse 32 that when I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to Myself. And John 12, 33 says He was saying, He was demonstrating the type of death He would die. When He was raised up off the earth, suspended there on that ugly cross, when people saw His love, when they saw the way He sacrificed for them, they'd be drawn to that love. So as light, Jesus shows us how to love each other. But then let me say this. Also as light, Jesus reveals to us how ugly and how weak we are. Go to Luke chapter 5. This is one of those times that you see there the apostles who were fishermen had been fishing. There's Peter and James and John. They'd been out there working hard, and they brought back nothing. Remember? And Jesus says, let's go out here, and he speaks, and he says, cast your net here. And Peter made the observation, well, we've been doing it, but nothing's brought in, but at your word we'll do it. And they bring in such a catch. And when Peter recognized the power and the greatness of Jesus, when that light shone through, it's like when the clouds parted and the light shone upon the power and greatness and glory of Jesus, Peter saw his weakness, his ugliness, his sin. And so he says in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. He says, I have seen what you have done. You have exposed as light. You've shown me how ugly I am by how beautiful you are. When we see the power of Jesus, we see our own weakness. When we see the divine mercy of Jesus, we are ashamed of our own pettiness. When we see the love of Jesus, we're ashamed of our own selfishness. As light, Jesus reveals our weaknesses. Jesus is perfect in love and power. He's the light that shows the way, and he's the light that makes the way. Let me make this observation before we go to another one. Because not only is Jesus light, and that's shown to us over and over and over, but the opposite of that, you know what it is to not have Jesus? You know what it is to not know Jesus? What it is to not follow Jesus? Well, the Bible says several times that to not know the Master, to not know the Christ, is to be in darkness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, Matthew 22, 13, Matthew 25, 30, at least in those three places, the gospel says something like this, that when there were those who were found unrighteous, when there were those who were found guilty, it says they were thrown into outer darkness. They were removed from the Master's presence and thrown into darkness, that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's the point. It's Jesus or it's darkness. There's no third alternative. It's walk in the light or it's be cast into the darkness. And thankfully for us, the message is Jesus is light. We can see him and know him and follow him. Then thirdly, there's this. It's also the fact that the Bible is light. So God is light, Jesus is light, and the Bible also says that the Bible is light. This is Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. This passage you know well, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible's light. When someone says something like this, here's what we mean. When someone says, I'm in the dark, what do they mean? I don't think they mean all my power went out. Now, they might mean that, but generally speaking, when someone says, I'm in the dark, what do they mean? They mean, I don't understand. Now, oftentimes, I don't like to say, I'm ignorant of this. And so an easier, watered-down way, I'm in the dark on that. Could you maybe shed some light on that for me? When I say I'm in the dark, what I'm saying is, I don't know what's going on. When I'm saying I'm in the dark, I say, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're talking about. I need more information. Well, guess what? The Bible is light. When I'm in the dark, when I don't know what's happening, when I don't know the direction to go, when I don't have the information, the Bible is light. That's what sheds light on me and my path and allows me to know where to go. We need Scripture. We need the Word of God to illuminate our path. Now, let me emphasize this. We've talked about this quite a bit over the last several weeks. Really, I guess the last 2-3 weeks. We've talked about this a lot, but let me emphasize it one more time because I think it's so necessary. Now, hear me. This is not going to be revolutionary, but it's so, so often ignored today. Listen, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. That's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This isn't just the word of man, it's the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible is inspired of God. What has been given to us comes from heaven. Now, the reason I share that is because when we are bombarded with what seems like a million paths, when we're bombarded with a million options, ethical choices, moral choices, life choices, when we have to say, I'm in the dark, I don't know which direction to go. The Bible is the light. When we're faced with questions about whatever it might be, think about the most hot button buzzworthy topics you can imagine from the headlines of the papers. The Bible's the answer. If I want to know how to be saved, the Bible's my light. If I want to know how to participate in acceptable worship, the Bible's my light. If I want to know how to handle conflict, the Bible's my light. If I want to know how to live a fulfilled and satisfied life, the Bible's my light. If I want to know what marriage is, if I want to know what life is, if I want to know what should be done with life, how sacred it is, whatever you might want to say, if I want to know how to deal with my fellow man, regardless of the color of skin, the Bible is my light. The Bible is my light. It's the truth of God's word that sets free, John 8:32. And so it's little wonder that the psalmist said, "Your word, God, is the light to my path. When I'm in the dark and don't know where to go, your word leads." And then fourthly and finally is this. Not only is God light and Jesus light and the Bible is light, but here's the last one. This one seems like a totally different category. We are light. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14, Jesus himself said, "You are the light." He says, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house." We know how that works. And so he said, "So in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." Now, those are high expectations. We understand it when it says that God is light and Jesus is light and the Word of God is light. Those are all acceptable. But us? The Lord actually expects us to point others to Him. He expects us to use words. So that means we'll use words that speak of salvation, that speak of how to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We'll speak those kinds of words. We'll speak of Jesus and His plan of salvation. But for us to be light, we must, in addition to speaking those words of Jesus and His plan, we must also speak words that are just simply, to say it this way, words that are befitting a disciple of Jesus. Because if what I want to do is distinguish myself from the rest of the world, if what I want to do is be a city set on a hill, if what I want to do is be a lamp that's on the table that gives light to the room, if I want to be different from everyone else, I will use words that are befitting a disciple of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12 at verse 36, the Bible says, "I tell you," Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak, every word spoken that brings you down just to be part of the level, like every other person of the world who's walking the broad path to destruction. On the day of judgment, you'll give an account for the words you've spoken, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." Far too few of us think about this. Far too few of us even care about this. We're far too flippant, far too cavalier with the words we speak. Our words are to rise above. He says, you're to be a light. No, let me rephrase that. He says, you are a light. The type of light you're to be is the type of light that shines greatness and glory and brings people to me rather than repels people from me. Our God expects us to engage in actions that are befitting of Christ. We're to engage in acts of mercy and kindness. That means we should physically be an aid. We should bring relief to those who are burdened by the hardships of life in this world. That means we should spiritually be of aid to people, offering forgiveness, offering kind words, encouraging words, words of hope. Because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You are light. You are seen. So are you blinding others and making them cringe and turn away? Or are you warmly and gently lighting a path for others that leads them to me?" Jesus says. Are you lighting a path for others to be able to see the Lord above? Are you leading them to eternity? Or are you causing them to put their arm up and run the other way? You're light. Are you a light that shines upon the Lord or upon the self? It can be scary in the dark. And God uses darkness as an image of punishment. But we don't have to be afraid. We forever and always have all the light we need. God is light. He knows our sin, but the question is, are we honest about it? Jesus is light. He shows us the path, so are we following it? The Bible is light. It shows us Jesus. It shows us how to live. So are we reading it and obeying it? We are light. We are to show others the glory of God. The question is this: can we be followed? The Bible has a lot to say about light and darkness. This is just the beginning. But if you recognize the fact that our Lord calls us to be light, but you are not, you have an opportunity to respond. If you recognize that Jesus being the light means what you must do is follow Him into the burial, into the water, into the tomb, to be raised up to a brand new life, forgiven and added to the church. If you recognize that the Bible as light is calling you to be submissive, and you recognize you haven't been, you have an opportunity to come while we stand and sing.